She waited another 10 minutes, then 10 more, each second of the time stretching her nerves agonizingly. Max, she thought, what's happened to you? Why haven't you sent out the capsule? What's going on down there in that damned ocean? At last, she could stand it no longer. With the reluctance of a woman facing a firing squad, standing on a gallows, staring death in the face, she clicked the intercom switch on her console and said in a low, choked voice, "Mission report. The first data capsule scheduled to be released from Faraday has failed to appear. Reason unknown." She heard her own words. "Faraday has failed." Oh, Max. Max, she thought, fighting down the sobs that rose in her throat. Max, has Jupiter killed you?
Devlin was still explaining himself when the phone on Archer's desk chimed. Glancing at the screen's data bar, he saw that it was Catherine Westfall calling. Archer got up from his armchair and went to the desk. Sitting in a spongy little wheeled chair and hunching close to the phone's camera eye so that his image filled the screen, he commanded, "Answer." Mrs. Westfall's face looked positively haughty. Without a greeting or a preamble of any kind, she said in an almost sneering voice, "I suppose you know that they failed to send their data capsule." Archer stiffened. "No, I didn't know." "You realize what this means, don't you?" Westfall demanded. "Something's gone wrong down there." "Possibly," Archer replied. Westfall's face hardened. "Not merely possibly. They were scheduled to release a data capsule, and they haven't done it. Something's gone wrong. They are probably dead, and you killed them." Grant Archer pulled in a deep breath before replying. "Then, perhaps you should come to my office. We can discuss this more fully here." "Yes," Westfall agreed. "We need to discuss this disaster more fully, don't we?" The phone screen went blank. Archer turned back towards Devlin, who was still sitting upright on the recliner. "I'd better get out of here," Devlin said. "No, Red, you stay right where you are. I want you here when she comes in." Devlin's russet eyebrows rose toward his scalp. "I'd rather not, you know." "I'm not asking you, Red," Archer said, with steel in his voice. "I'm ordering you."
Catherine Westfall didn't bother to summon any of her aides or security guards as she strode down the passageway toward Grant Archer's office. "No need," she told herself. "I'll have this moment all to myself. I want to savor the look on his face when he realizes that his career has been shattered. Should I tell him that Elaine O'Hara was my half-sister?" "No," she said to herself. "That's none of his business. Keep the family connection out of it. But maybe I'll hint that the IAA will launch an investigation into his criminally negligent leadership that led to the death of 4 people. Once I'm chairperson of the Governing Council, that's just what I'll do. I'll pay him back for my sister, and make certain he'll never hold a scientific post anywhere in the solar system." She looked forward to reaching Archer's office. Westfall felt strong, confident. If it weren't for the nervous twinge in her stomach, she thought, she'd feel absolutely perfect.
Red Devlin was fidgeting nervously as they waited for Westfall's arrival. "You're certain that they were out to murder you?" Archer asked, still sitting on the little desk chair. Devlin gave him a sour look. "They pop into my kitchen after midnight, 3 of them. They weren't looking for my recipe for lemon meringue pie." "And why did you hide out here in my office?" Devlin brushed at his bristly hair. "Couldn't think of any place better. Figured they'd be watching the security cameras so they'd know where I went. I was hoping that they wouldn't bust into your office. If they did, I was gonna phone you, send you a panic SOS. Archer nodded. "According to the security log, all the passageway cameras were turned off for a couple of hours, starting at midnight." Whistling between his teeth, Devlin said, "So there wouldn't be any evidence of them shoving me out an airlock." "She got to the technician on the midnight shift," Archer said, clear distaste on his bearded face. She can get to just about anybody one way or the other. It looks that way, doesn't it? Said Grant Archer. He tapped his phone console's miniature keyboard and saw Catherine Westfall marching along the passageway like a conquering empress. At least the surveillance cameras are back on, he thought. Turning back to Devlin, Archer pointed as he said, Red, get into the lavatory there. I'll call you when I want you. The Red Devil looked positively grateful as he hurried to the little room. He's frightened of confronting Westfall, Archer thought. Can't blame him. I'm not looking forward to this myself.
Deeper. Andy Corvus glided over to Dorn's side. Can you send them a picture about my DBS probe? The cyborg looked up from his console screens. If you draw the picture for me, I'm sure that I can run it on the outer hull's display lights. Nodding somewhat nervously, Corvus slid through the perfluorocarbon liquid to the console built into the curving bulkhead on Dorn's left. Deirdre disengaged her feet from the floor loops at her console and made her way past Max Yeager to stand at Andy's side.
Can I help you?
She asked softly. Corvus nodded without taking his eyes from his console's central screen. His attempt to draw a picture looked ragged to Deirdre, childish and uncertain.
Here, she said. Let me.
She leaned across his lanky frame and poised her fingers above the arrow keys on his board.
What do you want to show?
I want them to understand that we're going to fire a probe into the hide of one of them.
A harpoon,
Yeager snickered.
They'll love that.
That's what we're here for, Corvus said with some heat. That's what this mission is all about. Remember?
We've already made contact with them,
Yeager countered.
We don't need your brain probe.
We sure do. If it works, we can get inside their minds and really start to understand them.
If it works,
Dorn said mildly.
If the Leviathans accept being harpooned.
And if the DBS actually records their brain functions, Deirdre added silently. She didn't say it aloud because Andy had enough opposition to deal with from Max. There, she said, nodding toward Andy's screen. Does that show what you want them to see?
Leviathan saw that the alien was repeating the message it had flashed. Deep in its central brain, Leviathan pondered the meaning of this. Could this alien be intelligent? It signaled the replicant, asking its opinion. The replicant signed the same sort of puzzlement that Leviathan itself felt. Of course, Leviathan reasoned. The replicant has not had enough experience to deviate much from our own thoughts. Leviathan reviewed what it knew about the alien. It was larger than any of the other aliens that had invaded their domain. It gave no sign of feeding on the particles drifting down from the cold abyss above. It had attacked the darters when Leviathan was replicating and helpless. That is a sign of intelligence. The willingness to help another. Leviathan remembered another alien it had encountered long ago. It, too, had fought a pack of darters and been hurt in the battle. When it was sinking into the hot abyss below, Leviathan had tried to help it, actually carried it on its own back upward, away from the cruel heat and crushing pressure of the depths. The alien had repaid this kindness by scalding Leviathan's wounded hide with searing heat. Then it fled up into the cold abyss, never to be seen again. Now this new alien has appeared. It was much larger than the earlier one, but like it, this alien was hard-shelled, cold, unlike any of the kin, or the darters, or any other creature Leviathan had seen in the ocean. And it is trying to communicate, Leviathan saw. At least it is repeating the message I showed to it. Mimicry?